Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Say what you're thinking.
WhatsApp, Google it on 4P.
063-688-0959.
Kaya Biz.
On the street, on the air.
Yeah, the Jaguar sales are weird because Jaguar actually has stopped selling vehicles. So the 49 is just old stock. They're just trying to rebrand and go into all electric. They decided to just stop manufacturing ICE vehicles and selling those. So that 97% is because they want a clean slate to, and they stop manufacturing.
Hey, Gugu, how are you? Yes, I'm listening today, but I'm not concentrating, guys. I'm still shocked at my electricity tariffs. But taking a guess, and I'm saying 142.51 gone. Yeah, before Tola my units. Yo, Gugu, breathing through the wound. Breathing through the wound. That's all I can say. My little my springs.
Good afternoon, Kaya Biz. Hi, Gugu. You know what? I'm so impressed. I am so, so impressed. Last week I went to Maponya Mall. I just got this lady advertising Ama Jetho. It's a Jetho and Haval and this XSS. You know, she was telling me that since the interest rate is about 11.5 and now it's minus from their dealership because of apparently the car, this brand, it's been bought by Mercedes-Benz. Yeah, or something like that. Mercedes-Benz bought this new brand. So, I was so, so impressed that interest rates, it's 11.5. Then they said it's minus 5.35 of some interest rate. Then you'll be paying 4.5. And it's a very big car with all the spec. You know, I was so, and it's an automatic West Google. But the sad part is the balloon price. The balloon price is very expensive. But the payment plan, I am telling you. And the full tank of that car, they said it's about 800. Yo, Kosiam, because of the engine, they said it's 1.2 or 1.3 somewhere there. Yo, I'm so impressed about this.
That's several voice notes that you heard there from many of our listeners, giving us some perspective on various conversations we've had. You might recall when I spoke to the Drive team earlier this evening, giving them an update as to what we will be discussing on the show tonight, I reflected on a conversation we had with Seize the World with the business update this morning, taking a look at the shifts and trends within the vehicle buying space. If there's anything, luxury brands in South Africa have been witnessing a slowdown. As a result, I commented on Jaguar actually seeing a 98% decline in their vehicle sales in South Africa over the last quarter, essentially only 49 vehicles being recorded or documented as being sold within the continent. You heard an earlier voice note there from Tandani, who was commenting that following the brand change and logo change, they're actually just moving old stock as they're largely going to go into EV vehicles, electronically powered vehicles. So that's some perspective there. But it's our last voice note from Tembi that helps us understand what shifts we are seeing in the vehicle buying space. If anything, if you happen to be on the road right now, look up, look around you, maybe even look at the car you're driving and let me know if it is one of the new vehicle entrants in South Africa. I'll largely say a Chinese brand, but is it a Jetho? And I ask this specifically because these are some of the new vehicle brands that have come into the South African market and, judging by the numbers, have grown significantly in terms of their sales. Tonight, we're going to take a look at that. The shifting landscape of vehicles in South Africa. Which brands are dominating? How are the likes of Jetho performing in South Africa? And more so, how is it that they're looking to build up on their investment strategy to have a network, not only of purchasing vehicles in the country and selling them essentially, but also ensuring that the aftermarket sales is also effective. Tonight, we speak to the Vice President of Jator South Africa, Mr. Nick Campbell, to give us some insight into the business operations in the country. Yep, time to have a great conversation with Mr. Nick Campbell, Vice President of Jator South Africa. Nick, such a pleasure to have you with us in studio, and thank you for making time.
Good evening, and thanks for having me, and good evening to all your listeners.
I must say, we've been so excited for this conversation. I asked my producer if you could peep outside to see if you're actually arriving in a Jator, and maybe with a few extras as well. I'm pulling your leg here.
Absolutely, definitely. I got one of our flagship models downstairs
really?
In the parking lot.
Oh, fantastic. We'll have a peep at it in just a moment. But first things first. September 2024 is when Jator officially made its way into the market, just a few months in. But boy, oh boy, are you making moves as a brand. Maybe just give us some perspective as to, you know, the start off and the launch of Jator in the country and how it's been performing so far.
Great. Yeah, thank you. So as you mentioned, we launched towards the end of September 2024. We had a massive brand launch. We introduced two of our models, the Dashing and the X70 Plus, into South Africa. But a lot of the work started way before that in terms of, you know, all the research into understanding what South African customers yeah. need, how that landscape is changing, what the needs are, how those needs have changed. And of course, the all important thing is the budget. Mm-hmm. You know, the main conversation we have around it is a South African person, if they can afford 6,000 Rand for a car, doesn't budget 4-5.
Yes.
They probably budget 6-2 or 6-5. And they want the best value for money that they can get. They want yeah. the best possible car they can get. And it's not just about the four wheels and the interior and the car play and all of that. Of course, you must have it, but it's the package at large. It's
yes.
what we offer as a brand. And we came in and had a look at this fiercely competitive landscape, especially mm-hmm. in your medium to large SUVs, and went, it's not about doing things differently, but how do we as a brand, as a dealer network with our dealers, do it differently?
Mm-hmm.
What can we bring to the table that will excite the South African customer and make them part of the Jator family?
Got you. Well, you've certainly made South Africans excited, judging by the vehicle sales and numbers that we'll talk through in just a moment. But let's talk about that differentiating factor, especially when it comes to the supply chain, because you don't just open up a dealership network and say, hey, here's a car for sale. There's a lot of processes, procedures involved, and even making sure that getting the vehicle from where it's assembled, which takes place in Fuzhou, if I'm not mistaken, in China, and getting it to the country is a seamless process. So what was that like before the official launch?
So I think the main focus in the beginning was actually setting up a team within South Africa. We have got, I must say, one, you know, in all my time working in the motor industry, we have an excellent team. We've got industry experts. We've got young, dynamic people that have come in, put their hands up and said, we want to walk this road with Jator. We want to make it our legacy,
mm-hmm.
get the brand off the ground, and actually make a dent in the South African market. Coupled with that, we have experts coming out of factory. We have a couple of factories around China, and we have experts that have come across that actually live here, work with us. So our teams are largely set up with a South African head of department that works very, very closely with the Chinese heads of department. So we get the best of both worlds.
Gotcha.
We get all the expertise in terms of the technology and everything coming out of HQ, and we get to add our South African flair to it from a head office setup. Coupled with that, the long process before that was to set up our dealer network.
Mm.
And that's where the hard graft really started. And the team did an excellent job in not only identifying the big groups and the big players within the motor industry. Of course, you have to have them.
Yes.
But the way we looked at it in all the different areas is who was the best? Who had the trust of the community within those areas, especially if you have a look at the outlying areas and the smaller areas.
Would this be any of the independent players as well?
Independents, definitely.
Oh,
independents,
okay.
definitely. We've got a really good mix of large group, small group, and independents.
Gotcha.
And in the smaller towns, smaller regions, you go out and you have a look at who is trusted in that area and who would we trust with our brand. And if the customers already trust that dealership or that brand, because they essentially create their own brand, we'd like to partner with them. And I think we've done that really well, and I'm exceptionally proud of our dealer network at large.
Yeah, that's also been growing, if I'm not mistaken. You are also looking to roll out some capital to actually have your own dealerships established.
So we have been rolling out. We've been on a really big expansion plan.
Okay.
We launched with 37 dealers. We're currently pushing towards 50 dealers. It's a very fine line between over-dealerization and making sure that, you know, the dealer groups and the dealers that we do have in the areas are able to maximize the sales within that and not cannibalize each other and compete. Healthy competition is what we aim to do. In terms of our own dealerships, we are looking to put, towards the end of the year, launch a brand center. That will be with the Travel Plus strategy. It's still on the cards at the moment. We're still investigating everything. But retail, we leave to the experts, which is our dealer partners that we've partnered with.
Got you. That provides a lot more perspective, as you say, you know, working with within the ecosystem and an environment that already exists and building on the partnerships and the trust that is there. Let's talk numbers. So you open up shop, you build up the dealer network, and then you provide the stock and say, hey, here's a beautiful car, sell it. What have the sales numbers look like so far and the reception to your product essentially?
The sales have been great. Slowly, over the last couple of months, we've been growing. We've seen really, really good growth going up. We are realistic in our growth path. We're doing it properly. We're keeping value in our vehicles. We're making sure that the dealers are viable. And we're showing customers the value within our vehicles. I think our advertising strategy has been really, really effective in getting Jetour, be it the Dashing or the X70 Plus, on the consideration list, on the customer's buying list, and getting them into dealer, driving them into dealer, or at the very least giving us their details so we can make contact. And then once they're in the dealership, providing them with the service that they deserve, the service that they expect, the service that they deserve, understanding as a brand that customer is coming in to give you the most amount of money they can afford in a vehicle.
True.
They deserve the most amount of service we can give them in terms of that. And that's really, we live by the affordable luxury slogan, making sure that our customers feel part of the Jetour family.
And maybe let's talk about that. You might have heard me commenting earlier on in the show, and maybe even a voice note from one of our listeners, just reflections on what, you know, the future of luxury vehicles looks like in South Africa. And there's no denying it. A lot of the stalwarts in the German brands have been struggling slightly. Even the English brands such as Jaguar, Land Rover have also been seeing a slight pinch in their numbers. Granted, some of due to a shift in their strategy, but they no longer dominate the market. And you guys have come in together with some of your other competitors from a similar country, JWM and Haval, and really just grown on the South African consumer. What's your view of our view now on luxury vehicles and more so affordable luxury vehicles as South Africans?
I think it's just the new entrants coming into the market give South African consumers another option, something to go and have a look at. Mm-hmm. South African consumers are very, very brand loyal. They've had those options for a number of years. Perhaps your granddad drove one, dad drove one, said you have to drive one. But that landscape is vastly changing now, where customers, and I think South Africa in particular, a customer has so many options available to them that they owe it to themselves to actually go out and investigate what vehicle best suits their need. Best suits their needs, best suits their family, best suits their lifestyle, and how they can make it work. And yes, with all the different brands out there, you know, it's about being front and center. It's about making sure you're on that consideration list. And when you get that customer into the dealership, making them feel welcome, making them want to stay and not need to go down the road to see a competitor. Equally, unfortunately, and I think it will get better as a resilient country, it's ebbs and flows. I think the general consumer and the biggest buying population is under pressure in their pockets, unfortunately. I think lifestyle in South Africa is very expensive, a lot more expensive than we've ever known it to be. Mm-hmm. And that's really where you need to start showing value. You really need to start making customers feel part of this family and the trust, and build that trust and go, you know what, I'm going to give this new entrant to go. I'm going to come in. I'm going to test drive. I'm going to make an informed decision. And our job is to make those customers feel comfortable and join the Jetour family.
Got you. On that, as you say, you know, you've had a wealth of experience as well within the automotive industry, representing different brands over the last few years. So you've really seen the ebbs and flows of brands dominating the market and then eventually dying down. And I'm keen to understand, you know, how you're hoping to avoid that as Jetour, you know, how you're navigating the landscape to avoid being the flavor of the month. But in 7 years' time, you know, no one even remembers your name, essentially. What's the support that you have behind you, especially from a head office point of view?
Yeah. So coming out of global headquarters, South Africa has been marked as one of the most important regions for growth and for expansion, not just within South Africa, into other African markets, right? And drive Africa.
Angola, I understand, is also a big market for you.
And Angola for J2 is very big. It's a left-hand drive market, and they're already dominating. Their sales are in that market. They're already knocking off some of the big players. Really doing exceptionally well. And we hope to emulate that here, taking all the learnings from around the world. In the UAE, in Dubai and in Doha, J2 is really, really up there and dominating with the big players. We aim to bring in a strategy that is very sustainable. We understand the risk. We know that that can happen, you know. And that's why I say we want to go to market smartly. We want to build value in our cars. We want to keep value in our cars so that when our customers come back in 3.5-4 years' time, whenever their buying cycle is to get a new car, they come straight back to us. We offer them great value on their trade-ins, offer them the newest, the latest technology within the cars, upgrade them, second, third, fourth cars. We're not here to sell one car to one customer. We're here to sell a vehicle to you now, in 4 years' time, in 8 years' time, keep you on the road, understand that ecosystem, understand how important your mobility needs are, and walk that journey with you.
Got you.
Understanding that you have a lot of choice out there.
Yeah.
And you've made the choice to join us, and we will back you and we'll walk this journey with you.
Let's talk about that journey. Looking at your website, your new entrant, the Dashing, starts from 439,900 rand a month. And looking at the features, my goodness, the price point really does speak to the pockets of some South Africans who can afford it. But with all the features encompassed in it, you mentioned that South African consumers have been under pressure, and I'm aware West Bank, I believe, was one of your launch partners initially. Talk to us around, you know, what are our, aside from, you know, purchasing trends and the kind of vehicles we want with the specs as well, but financing arrangements, you know, typically what does that look like? We had a voice note as well, make referencing the kind of payment terms.
Yeah, so that all comes down to a lot of the research that gets done within it. It gives us a little bit of a competitive advantage with what you do, but you would generally go out to one of the banks. Our JV partner is West Bank, but we also work with all of the other banks, and we investigate what we can do, how we can assist, and how we can run these schemes for these customers that can qualify for those by either you can subvent the interest rate or you can just, what we don't want to do is we don't want to discount. We don't think we're a discount product.
We'd rather discount, you mean?
As in money off the bonnet, come in and you'll get 30,000 rand discount. So we'd rather assist you to get to those monthly payments, be it on an interest rate subvention or whatever the case may be, trade-in assistance. But we would rather the customer come into our dealerships, have a look at the car on face value, evaluate that car for their needs, and then we can discuss pricing structures. And we have numerous that you can. And that's where finance and insurance managers within the dealerships play a vital role to understand that customer's needs and go, you know, hold on, Mr. Customer, if we work the deal this way, you might pay a little bit more now, but in the long run, it's better. Or if, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Customer, the bottom line is the lowest monthly installment, this is what we can offer you. But we work closely with the banks just about every day on different schemes, different options that they do have for us.
So on average, 600 vehicles in the last few months, is that correct?
Correct. We've been slowly growing up to 600. We've built up to over the 600 mark. We had another great month in June, surpassing that. The NAMSA figures were out today. We managed to record 683 sales, which is really good. We're happy, but we're not done yet. We are growing, but like I said, we're doing it in a smart, responsible way with our customers to build that up. I think you'll see quite a nice shift in the next couple of months. Heading into the last quarter of this year, we'll be introducing some new models, and into first quarter of next year already we'll start with some of our facelift models, new models.
Got you. Who's buying? Who's inquiring? if you have details on the demographics?
Yes, so our demographics are quite wide. We can no longer just pinpoint them onto certain categories. We look at the buying public that can afford a vehicle kind of anywhere between the 400 and the 550, 600,000 coming in to look. We do find quite a few customers who are interested in used cars coming in to have a look.
Okay. And do you have enough stock of that? Because this is still a very brand new brand.
So what we're able to then do is offer them the value of a new vehicle. You know, we can have a look at what they want. Perhaps they wanted to spend that money on a used vehicle. Mm-hmm. We can show them the benefits of actually buying a new vehicle.
I see.
Largely at the moment, we're looking at about a 60-40 split between Dashing and X70 Plus. Slightly more towards ladies, which is great.
Right.
Just showing that buying power and how that is shifting towards that. But right now, there's no clear, you know, winner or somebody that's outright. I think where we've come in is we're getting the South African public at large interested in our product, and showing them the value. And we're offering something a little bit better and a little bit, you know, that affordable luxury. We want the dealers, you know, the customers to feel that in our dealership. Even more so, even if you're not buying, even if you're not in the market to buy a vehicle now, come have a cup of coffee with us in one of our dealerships. Have a look so that when you are ready, you know what you're in for. We invite everybody into our dealerships. Come have a coffee, come have a look around. You know, everybody's welcome to experience the brand, not just those who are interested in buying now.
Nick, what are the targets? As you said, Angola's quite a strong region so far. We're pushing 600 in terms of numbers of vehicle sales. But what are the targets and what is the metrics and the goal look like right now?
So we're currently still busy finalizing that. We obviously want to grow month on month. Okay. Again, I say like responsibly. You know, we don't want to come in and do anything drastic and ramp it up. We finished in the top 15. We were 15th in terms of vehicle sales within South Africa this
month. Since September last year. Is this heard of, Nick? And I ask this, you know, innocently because we don't know the dynamics as being an outsider in the industry. But is this typically what happens when a new entrant comes into the market?
Not typically. It does take you know, some time to settle. We do have a really big backing from HQ, mm-hmm. and from the brands. And if I'm honest, some of our counterparts that have been in the market for quite a while now in South Africa have paved the way for it and done a lot of hard work in making it, you know, more accessible, but, you know, customers being more open to coming in and having a look at other brands.
Yes.
But make no mistake, it's still fiercely competitive out there. Really? This landscape is incredibly. It makes it so fun, makes it so interesting, keeps everybody on its toes. I think the small SUV, medium, large SUVs is so fiercely competitive at the moment.
Yeah.
You have to be on top of your game in order to do that. I think Jetour as a brand will grow from strength to strength. And we'll continue to listen to our customers, listen to the voice of customer, and make sure that we're bringing cars to the market at affordable prices, but more importantly, giving you that service that you require.
Got you. If you've just joined us in conversation, we are speaking to the Vice President of Jetour South Africa, Mr. Nick Campbell, joining us in studio to give us some insight into the business, its operations, and of course, what we do see in terms of vehicle sales. Nick, you've given us and painted a beautiful picture around, you know, the entry into South Africa, how you're growing, the target market, how we are also a key market for growth as per the support you have from headquarters in Fuzhou in China, if I'm not mistaken. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Fuzhou is where one of our factories is. The HQ is in Wuhu.
Ah, got you. But something that's important that a lot of listeners typically ask, and we do have a few voice notes that we'll play in just a moment, is the after sales environment. As you've said, typically your stock does come from your plant in Fuzhou. It comes to South Africa and essentially is rolled out in terms of the distribution network that you have, a dealer network, I beg your pardon. But after sales, talk to us about that. What are we seeing in terms of warranties? Some consumers have raised concerns about parts, you know, after accidents and the likes. But what are you doing to ensure that the ecosystem in the after sales environment doesn't leave consumers wanting?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a massive thing in the motor industry to be able to keep customers on the road. We understand fully that a vehicle is part of your lifestyle. If you can't get to work, you can't earn. You know, we have a lot of when I say a lot, I can't give you exact numbers, you know, but we have a huge warehouse in Midrand where I actually sit at our head office. We all sit under one roof. Our parts were in South Africa before our vehicles.
Oh.
We're currently running at a 98% supply rate to our dealer network. Yes. You know, relatively small car park at the moment, but we are seeing cars come in for services. We are seeing parts being ordered, okay. And we're supply. We aim to stay on top of it by by just staying on top of parts demand, supply and demand. We've got direct imports coming out of factory. Mm-hmm. We're not scared to fly parts in if need be. We prefer not to because it's expensive. Yeah. But we keep a tight finger on the parts, and we will continue to do so. We've worked with our dealers in terms of them having a minimum parts holding within dealer. So in terms of the parts, it's a very tricky game. Yep. It's an ever-changing game, but we feel like we've got it down pat, and we can confidently say we will keep your vehicle on the road.
What about the skills as well? Because you also need engineers and mechanics to be adequately trained regarding the technology of the vehicle.
Correct. So we run numerous in-house training sessions with all of our dealers, with all of our technicians. We've got technicians from HQ sitting with us at head office. Okay. Any troubleshooting, anything that needs to be done, we provide support, direct support to our dealers should they have a vehicle in workshop and they're unsure. There are communication processes that they can follow, and just that continuous support from us at head office to our dealer network. Let them know that we're their partners and we can help. If we need to get in the car and go out, touch wood, we haven't had to assess, we can do that. And it's all about that training. We run regular training programs, online programs. We have info banks where people can get bulletins, etc. So all of our dealers are very well equipped to be able to service the needs of customer.
Got you. Nick, I've kept you to myself for too long. Our listeners are calling in with their voice notes and, of course, sharing some thoughts and questions. So we'll play a few. Some might have a few questions, others just reflections, but happy to get your response to a few of these. Let's start with Jane Gwenya, who's got a question too.
Good evening, Sisko. This is John from Fintown. Can you please get for us, Uti, what normally are the numbers of kilos for warranty that they are giving, they are guaranteeing the customer from these cars, so that we can know when I'm buying this car, at least I've got a million kilometers of warranty.
Evening. You know, as for the Chinese car brand, you would get a Bentley, Rolls-Royce, luxury comfortability in a car that you pay 4,000, 5,000 per month. Man, I feel like the Chinese cars, they literally taking over the market. Yo.
As you heard, yo, that's Grazie Vita, sharing a voice note there saying, yo, the Chinese vehicles are taking over the market. So I guess some support that you've got there, no doubt, around the growing demand for vehicles. But a key question that also came through from Mr. Nguyenya, essentially asking around the warranties, mm-hmm. kilometers and limitations on essentially making it worthwhile to maintain the vehicle for the consumer.
Yeah. So currently all our vehicles come out with a service plan, a 5-year 60,000 kilometer service plan, a 5-year 150,000 kilometer factory warranty,
sure.
coupled with our 10-year 1 million kilometer engine warranty. And that's our way of providing comfort to the customer that buys the vehicle, that the engine is, you know, the heart of the vehicle, what keeps it going.
Yeah.
And we back it. We back it with 10 years or 1 million kilometers.
Got you. We've got another voice note from one of our listeners, Mubulawa as well, who's a firm listener of the show.
This is Gogs. I'm listening to your interview with Nick. You know what the danger is about just going in and having a cup of coffee? You don't have to buy, but just come in and have a cup of coffee. And then you end up trading in. You're like, oh, but then let me just work out my finances. Yeah, I can afford it. No, I will window shop from afar. I will window shop from afar. Because once you test drive, you are sold. You
Gone. Mubulawa there commenting on how you say, just visit some of our dealer networks, right? And she's saying, well, the cup of coffee will turn into her trading in her vehicle. But as you say, you're building the trust and building the relationship, because ultimately that's where it stems from. As long as someone has an understanding of the vehicle, how it works and the benefits and I guess, the capability surrounding it, that's where the relationship can be established. But I'm so intrigued, Nick, you know, when you look at the environment, you know, you see the manufacturing plant at Fozhou, how this vehicle is put together. There's a wonderful video of you actually showing the different parts and the robotics in the background moving these parts and assembling this vehicle. And then you come home and you actually see South Africans purchase the car and enjoy it, you know, whether they're picking up their kids, their spouses, their family, putting in groceries. You get to see us witness what was once just a piece of metal as now a part of our lives. So I'm intrigued just to hear your views on the future of vehicle ownership in South Africa. You know, what does it look like? What are we buying? Is it electric? Is it still an internal combustion engine? You know, where are we and what are you seeing given your experience?
Yeah. So I think the ICE engines, the internal combustion engines, will be here for a while. There's no doubt that there will be a shift towards EV. I think plug-in hybrids will dominate that kind of sector for quite a while. There will definitely be a shift towards that. Typically, at the moment, they're fairly expensive. I think that's what people are more worried about. Equally, I think they're worried about after sales. They're worried about all of that. And it will take some learning for the South African customers to learn about EV vehicles and to fully understand exactly, you know, what it entails to own an EV vehicle.
Yes.
You know, it's not just a go to the dealership, purchase the vehicle, go home. There's a whole lot more to it. Included in that will be the dealerships. The dealers will also have to learn what it entails to be able to sell, to be able to service, to be able to get keep those cars moving. In terms of the South African landscape, I think it will continue to grow. I think vehicle sales will continue to grow. I think the resilience in the South African consumer and the need for vehicles will continue to ensure that vehicle sales keep growing. Where those sales will come from and what brands, that's the competitive advantage. And that's where we all play, and that's where we hope to, you know, to firmly place our mark on it. And the affordable luxury tagline is our own. Moving into towards the end of the year, you'll see something coming out called Travel Plus, your travel partner with Jetour.
And not what does just that about mean?
So that will come with the launch of our new vehicles, you know, in October with our T series, which is our bigger SUV vehicle.
That's
our
like
all-wheel drive,
our first
all-wheel drive, and we again aim to create an ecosystem called Travel Plus that will enable our customers to join this ecosystem and to have a lot of benefits and to really just drive with comfort, with knowledge that you're safe, and just have the backing, that Jetour backing, and really live that Travel Plus lifestyle.
Let's take it to the Drakensberg, Nick.
Let's go.
For a test drive. I'm
100%.
In.
Let's do it.
Fantastic. Yeah. Such a refreshing conversation, and thank you so much for being so liberal in helping us understand the positioning of the business, how competitive it is on the continent and in South Africa, the new product launches that you're providing, and also just how it is that you're speaking to our needs as South African consumers.
Magic. Thank you so much for having me, and the offer stands to all your listeners. Please come have a cup of coffee with us in one of our dealerships.
Ooh, a cup of coffee, and then October I'm changing my car. But as long as we can afford it, right? Nick, thank you so much. Thanks again. That's Nick Campbell, who's the Vice President of Jetour South Africa.
Post your say
at Kaya on 959.
On X.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.